Felix Light, CBS News, Moscow Times, reporting on the Kremlin, and the Kremlin much in the news, the Associated Press, in these last hours. Russian President Vladimir Putin sternly warned NATO against deploying its troops and weapons to Ukraine, saying it represents a red line for Russia and would trigger a strong response. Putin expressed concern that NATO could eventually use the Ukrainian territory to deploy missiles capable of reaching Moscow in just 5 minutes. I'll stop there because, Felix, that Moscow in 5 minutes very much reminds me of the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, when Nikita Khrushchev and then President John F. Kennedy had fears similarly. Kennedy, because of how long the missile would take to fly from Cuba to Miami or to Washington, and Moscow, because how long it would take to fly from Turkey, where the U.S. had positioned intermediate range Atlas missiles, to fly to Moscow. And here we are again. Is this story big in Moscow, the missile part? Because Ukraine has been going on for several weeks. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's great to be here, as always. Yeah, you know, you've really got to think, I think, about, you know, Ukraine as not even just a Cuba, you know, for the Russian perspective, but almost as a Mexico, you know, a huge important neighbor. And even if you kind of leave all the historical sensitivities to one side, that, you know, that you know, Russian civilization in many ways was kind of born in many ways, you know, in Ukraine and on kind of contemporary Ukrainian territory, then, you know, the closeness that a sort of a serious NATO presence in Ukraine would sort of provide the military alliance to Moscow, to Russian military targets, you know, that is what is fueling, I think, this new wave of tension now. And I think we're in this strange situation where it doesn't seem like there's going to be, you know, a military conflict. But I think Putin and the people around him clearly care very, very deeply about what happens in Ukraine and, you know, Ukraine's kind of creeping alignment with NATO and with the West. And they've decided, I think, this might be a good way to think about it, that sort of the best way to make sure that this sort of doesn't escalate into full integration of Ukraine with NATO is just to ramp tensions up as high as they can possibly be, and count on the fact that Russia cares about Ukraine a lot more than the West does, and that, you know, Biden is not going to risk war or risk the lives of American troops for the sake of the of Ukraine.
And yet, routinely now, there are announcements from London, the defense minister, talking about sending arms into Ukraine, from Washington, not only arms, but also advisors into Ukraine. There's the question of pre-positioning major armor units in Germany in case of, you understand, all these moving parts, and Putin laying down a red line. So I want to turn it to the other side. What does Kiev think? Oftentimes you ignore this centerpiece of the story. Mr. Zelensky, the new president there, says that there's a plot, or he's interrupted a plot, or he's confirming a plot by Russian or Russian sympathetic Ukrainians aligned with the richest man in Ukraine. I don't know why it goes this far afield, just the plot itself. Is this a big story in Moscow that Zelensky says you're trying to get me?
I mean, yes and no, I think. There's been a lot of skepticism of this allegation because, you know, it is, I think, key to remember that Zelensky offered no proof whatsoever about this, and that the allegation has not been backed up even by sort of Western intelligence agencies. So I think there was generally a lot of skepticism about it. You know, I think the West, the Russian point of view, which is I don't think fair, but it is important, I think, to know, because this is sort of what informs kind of Russian actions and what Russia is saying, is very much that sort of Zelensky is like a bought and paid puppet of the West, basically, and that he's not an independent actor, and that Ukraine is functionally under the control of the United States. This is obviously ridiculous, but it is kind of the way that the Russian elite, I think, thinks right now. So when they see sort of these allegations of a coup. They see sort of, you know, a president kind of looking to crack down on pro-Russian forces in Ukraine. Now, you know, I don't necessarily think that's true. You know, I probably don't think there was a coup, but I don't think, you know, Zelensky is some kind of puppet. But, you know, this is very much how the Russian sort of side thinks about the question, I think.
A quote from the president of Russia about the future of his administration and Russian constitutional order. The president says, and I'm quoting from the Moscow Times reporting, "It's premature to say who is planning what in 2024. This is a predicate to the president saying, if I run again, it's for the word stability." That's very convincing if you have the turmoil of these last 30 or 40 years in the former Soviet Union, now the Russian Federation. Is he making it very clear that he will run again, or is it still an open question in Moscow, Felix?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I think the strong likelihood is that Putin will run again. You know, it's not a done deal, but it is likely, I think. You know, he's now, since the constitutional rewrite last year, he's got his term limits waived until 2036. So he can continue to run for office, I think, for three more terms now. So he's perfectly within his rights with this amended constitution to continue running. And I think, you know, this idea of stability is very important. You know, there's this quote that Putin sort of likes to come up with sometimes, which is sort of, you know, give me 20 years of stability and you won't recognize Russia. You know, he sees himself very much as this kind of almost like an authoritarian, you know, conservative modernizer, you know, who's going to give the country the time it needs to develop and sort of get over its historical traumas and all this stuff. You know, you can kind of argue with that because obviously the economy is quite stagnant at the moment and has been for rather a long time. But certainly that's the way Putin sees himself. And he sees himself as the guarantor of sort of a stable and strong country. And that, you know, I think a lot of the elite does as well, you know, because one of the things Putin is saying here is that, you know, if he holds out the sort of prospect that he might run again, what you don't get is the different sort of clans and factions within the Kremlin all sort of jockeying for position to try and become, you know, the next heir apparent. And that definitely happened the last time Putin left office in 2008 when we had Dmitry Medvedev for 4 years. That was sort of preceded by a bit of an internal factional struggle. And I think the main thing that the elite wants is to avoid that again.
Finally, a wonderful story about artificial intelligence. And this points to a science fiction movie that was very successful some years past called Minority Report. Now, that was science fiction. That was Hollywood. That was Tom Cruise. What do we know about the Russian authorities using social media or the internet to anticipate trouble?
Yeah, I mean, this is the specific story is that a Russian state-owned corporation is reportedly trying to develop a sort of AI system that can predict protests, right? That it can sort of extrapolate from what people are writing on social media into a sort of, you know, an algorithm to predict sort of how many people will take to the streets, what kind of unrest there'll be. You know, the Russian government is really kind of interested in these like high-tech, you know, methods of dictatorship almost. You know, there's a lot of sort of investment in the idea that you can sort of trawl social media to get an idea about what the people are really thinking. Because, you know, in an authoritarian regime like Russia's, where elections are rigged and there's not really much free press, you know, it can be a good way to find out what people are thinking. And there's a lot of sort of ideas about this. You know, this is very much a sort of a high-tech country, you know, with a lot of very smart tech people who've been sort of suborned by the government. So, yeah, you know, this is very in line with these kind of things they're doing. It's very Orwellian and very scary, but it's kind of the culmination of quite a few years of work by the Russian government, I think.
And therefore, it's credible. You believe that the population, having learned this, will be cautious, will test it? What do you imagine is the next step? Because you can announce any software, but we used to call it vaporware. You know that, Felix.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, who knows whether it'll work, right? The government sort of tries a lot of things, and a lot of them don't work because, you know, actually human beings are quite complicated, and we don't always sort of behave as algorithms predict that we will. But, you know... China does all sorts of things with sort of social credit, you know, ratings and these kind of things. So, you know, who's to say no? It's hard to say, I think, but it is definitely a sort of an avenue that the Russian government is interested in exploring, I think.
I look forward to the day when the Russian authorities and their huge riot gear crash through the front door claiming pre-crime to the rescue. Felix Light of CBS News and the Moscow Times. He's in Moscow. Again, for those who haven't read the 1956 novella by Philip K. Dick, Minority Report, highly recommend it. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.